You know, digital is a topic, of course, everyone is discussing these days, especially within community banking.
We've seen digital transformation become one of the top priorities, and something that came out of the survey as being something that keeps our CEOs up at night.
There has been incredible change in mass culture around investing. Accessibility has never been higher.
What's top of mind for every client is the incredibly challenging times that we're going through right now.
Work is on trial. Every business has had to adapt the way that they work and how they work over the last 2 years. We know employee experience is something we need to focus on, but where do we even begin?
Banking is a risk business, but in today's environment, we are being faced with uncertain times. Financial institutions have always had partners who could help evaluate, address, and mitigate risk. But today, they need to lean on those partners more than ever. Welcome to Bank on Whitfleet. Each episode will feature discussions around industry issues, hot topics, and current trends, giving you an insider's look at how top performers and professionals are staying ahead of the curve. All right, let's get into today's conversation.
Welcome, everyone. Today's guest is Michelle Joseph, an amazing leader in our talent management and employee experience team here at Whitfleet. Michelle is a recognized consultant helping our financial institution C-suite map a people strategy that drives results. Michelle is with us today to talk about three key areas for executives to recognize in managing employee experience. First, why employee experience remains a strategic issue for financial institutions right now. Second, how financial institutions are creating their own employee experience. And third, the importance of employee experience data or EX data to heat map and prioritize the work that needs to be done. If you are a regular subscriber to our podcast, you will recognize Michelle's energy and passion, and we're excited to talk with Michelle about her current work in employee experience. We know across all asset sizes of our financial institutions and our financial institution listeners that employee experience is often a common denominator as to whether the organization is meeting or missing their goals and objectives. We also know from our loyal and active listeners who provide us feedback that employee experience, talent management challenges are weighing heavily on their institutions. So let's start. Michelle, first, thank you for being here today. Would you remind our listeners some information about you, your background, and your role at the firm? I know you bring a phenomenal foundation from beginning your career in the demanding world of hospitality and then moving into private equity and some of those areas.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me here today, Robert. I'm happy we're able to continue the discussion on employee experience. And for our listeners, thank you for choosing into our topic today and continuing this journey with us. As a reminder, I have over a decade of experience in helping business leaders and executives understand the power of their people using quantitative and qualitative data to build custom people strategies and plans that align to their strategic business plans. And I've been brought into the organizational performance team here at Whitfleet to really help our clients redefine how we look at employee experience. My expertise is really helping our clients design that people strategy and the people plan that's going to align with their existing business strategy or strategic plan. And I work side by side with our clients, meeting them where they are and working with them at a pace that's comfortable with them, with that shared goal of understanding who they have and who they need to meet those business goals and objectives to set forth that strategic plan.
Well, thank you for providing your background again, Michelle. I know from the last time we had our podcast, everyone was excited to have you talk. So let's just jump in. Why does employee experience remain a strategic issue for financial institutions? I know you've been doing extensive travel and a lot of client work this year. What are you hearing?
Yeah, and Robert, you know, that the great word that you use is what are you hearing? And that's really what it comes down to. It's employee experience, it really bubbles up to what are we hearing and what are our people hearing in the field from executive leadership all the way down to that teller that just started a week ago. And what we're hearing is many of our clients and many of the employees at these institutions still believe that employee experience and the responsibility of these initiatives fall under human resources, and that human resources should really own the ideas behind employee experience and the execution behind these initiatives. But in reality, if there's not executive buy-in or support from leadership within the financial institution, then any efforts put into place will not be sustainable. And all that's happening is you are getting employees excited about something that's never going to happen, and you're burning out already stretched thin employees and human resources. In our last episode, we talked about the importance of creating a people plan that aligns with the financial institution's strategic plan in our May podcast. And what I'm hearing from a lot of my clients is that executive leadership may see the importance of a people plan in theory, but many don't have the time or capacity to put as much effort into building and executing that plan. It's not because they don't want to. It's not because they just don't see it as a priority, but it's because they've never had to build one before and have so many other responsibilities that are falling on their plate. So when it comes to why is it still an issue, prioritizing employee experience is putting in the time to craft a well-defined people plan that can be executed on. That's the ultimate objective, but many folks just don't have the time or the capacity to do it. And a lot of folks are asking, where can I scratch the surface just to get enough information in front of leadership so we can get them to commit to investing in building this plan? And you know, the wonderful thing about financial institutions is the majority of folks in leadership positions, they're numbers people. So really the best place to start is to really start thinking about putting the numbers in front of those people. Because in order to get executive leadership committed to investing in employee experience, you have to show them how not having a people plan in place that encompasses employee experience is hurting the institution financially.
Said like a true financial executive, Michelle, thank you. Why do our leaders in banking, in financial institutions, need to prioritize that investment you're talking about? Why is employee experience investment needed now?
You know, I was reading a really interesting study. WorkHuman and IBM Analytics, they combined forces and conducted a study on the employee experience of financial services workers. And the financial services sector today, it faces a lot of the same ongoing challenges of uncertainty as many other industries. However, financial services is also experiencing ongoing structural changes, including non-traditional financing, industry consolidation, and they also face significant challenges from an attrition standpoint because of the immense amount of time required for regulatory compliance training of new hires or folks that are being put into new roles, taking on new responsibilities. So what I found interesting was that the study found that 36% of financial service sector workers do not feel their senior leaders are providing clear direction about where the organization is heading. And about 32% of these employees don't feel their employees were effective in serving and supporting them. And so when we think about this, the employee experience in financial institutions, it has to encompass both soft skill and hard skill training and the investment in both soft skill and hard skill training in order to set everybody up for success, from the board all the way down to that new employee that walks in the door. And this soft skill and hard skill training, it's meant for all employees. It has to be a learning environment, because when it comes to upskilling and cross-training efforts in order to ensure all employees have a clear understanding of job requirements and their responsibilities, it's critical. If there's not clarity, then we are getting in big trouble here, because our employees, they need to know what is their responsibility, what is their day-to-day, and most importantly, who can they turn to for help and support if they need it. So when it comes to why employee experience is so important for a financial institution, if there's not a crystal clear understanding of the work that needs to get done, who's responsible for doing the work, along with explaining the why behind the work, how it impacts the bigger picture, and most importantly, the proper training in order to do that work, then there will be cracks in the foundation that could lead to serious repercussions from a regulatory standpoint.
I think you bring up such a good point, Michelle, is that in the financial services industry, unlike other industries, we are facing the challenges of finding talent, but we have an added layer of keeping our depositors' money safe and meeting all the other regulatory requirements that revolve around lending and investment. So very, very important to remember. You and I were talking very recently, Michelle, and we know that we're facing a time of economic uncertainty. Industry leaders such as Jamie Dimon, of course, CEO of JP Morgan Chase, warn of an economic hurricane coming caused by the Fed and Ukraine, what's going on in the Ukraine. From media news, we understand that Mr. Dimon has begun preparing the biggest U.S. bank for an economic hurricane, and he's advised other investors to do the same. Our financial institutions that we work with know that quantitative tightening, or QT, initiated by the Fed and scheduled to ramp up to almost $100 billion a month is impacting the markets. Our leaders are also dealing with the change in the interest rate environment with the upward pressure on borrowing rates, its impact on asset liability management, and of course, general liability funding. With these factors, I think what is interesting is the need for strong analytics and the data-driven approach that you're advocating, Michelle, with your clients. I know from the work that you and I have done together that there is an importance of employee experience data and the methodology that you advocate of heat mapping to prioritize the work to be done, both for that internal team, that human resources team you mentioned, and of course, for any return on investment, if you're buying a system, if you're hiring a consultant. We've done some work with, of course, our growth performance and strategy survey with some of our banks to find more alignment with employee experience and strategic planning. Can you help us put it in perspective? Can you tell listeners the importance of employee experience data, that heat mapping process, and really prioritizing the work?
Absolutely. And like we talked about earlier, the wonderful thing about financial institutions is the vast majority of folks in leadership positions are number people. So the way a lot of our clients are able to get executive leadership understanding the importance of employee experience is telling a story with data. Without data, we're just hypothesizing. And the only way to create an employee experience is to really custom tailor it to the needs that are specific to the folks at your institution. And the only way to do that is by collecting and comparing data on what works, what doesn't, and what needs to get done in order to prepare for whether or not this hurricane comes. It's all about preparing. And when we follow a data-driven approach, this can help leaders make informed decisions. For a lot of folks, it's easier to digest and process information if they can read it through, have the results in front of them, and have that data versus having to hear about it firsthand in a one-to-one conversation that can sometimes be a little bit more emotional or uncomfortable for both parties involved. So taking a data-driven approach to heat map and prioritize the work to be done is a much less invasive way to have employees feel heard. Then it's really up to leaders to take action on what needs to get done. And that's where that heat map comes into play. Having that heat map, it's like having a compass. It's going to help point us in the right direction, but the real work begins once leadership commits to embarking on crafting that people plan that's going to meet the needs of their employees, that aligns with their strategic plan, and that is going to set them up for success and really insulate them should this hurricane come in the fall.
So the heat map, Michelle, from what I hear you say, could be there's misalignment in understanding the strategy of the organization, or there may be misalignment in our hiring and retention practices. There may be some tweaking we need to do in compensation. There may be some onboarding issues. That's what you're talking about, heat mapping. Instead of doing anecdotal type conversations, it's to step back and heat map or do a plan based on data of what topics and issues should be addressed from the employee experience perspective first, and then work from greatest downward?
Exactly, exactly. Because like we talked about, if employees do not have clarity, if leaders do not have clarity, nobody is going to be able to perform the work that needs to get done to the standards that it needs to get done by. So by having a safe space for employees to be able to share what it is that they need or where it is that they need some additional support, that's going to help us prioritize how to protect the institution and where to start.
I think it's such interesting observation from actual work in the field you're doing, Michelle, and so powerful. Thank you. I think this is incredible information. Are there any other thoughts that you want to give to the listeners today?
You know, I think it's really important for our financial institutions to understand that they are not alone. And the most important thing any leader can do is to just start to have the conversation with the other folks that are sitting at that table with them and really push the importance of employee experience and how if they don't start thinking about building that plan, then they're going to be really setting themselves up for failure come this hurricane that they're being asked to prepare for. And you know, there's no, oh, I should have started this a year ago or 2 years ago, or are we behind? The worst thing any leader can do right now is just push this to the side. It's really taking the small steps, using a data-driven approach to start making the necessary improvements in order to insulate come this hurricane is really going to be critical to preparing for and really insulating themselves in this next wave that could be coming.
Yeah, and I think from what I understand from working with your team, the war on talent is not going to get easier. People opting out of the workforce or retiring is still going to occur, even if we're in the midst of economic uncertainty. So,
absolutely. People want to be at a place where they feel they're heard, that they belong. People want that psychological safety in the work environment. So being able to just take that very small step and giving them a platform to be heard, and then leaders having an objective set of data to be able to look at versus having to hear firsthand from their folks, it's going to help everybody move a little bit faster towards that ideal outcome, which is success from the top down and the bottom up.
Michelle, what a pleasure to have you as a guest today. So appreciate you being available on short notice to have today's conversation. I know that you are super busy traveling and on site with clients, so we certainly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for allowing us to share some ideas with you. Today, we've talked about why employee experience remains a strategic issue for many financial institutions. We've also talked about how financial institutions are creating their own employee experience and the importance of employee experience data to heat map and prioritize the work that needs to be done, because the list can be overwhelming and we want to move away from using anecdotes to prioritize the work. As always, reach out with any questions or comments. We look forward to hearing from you and having you listen to our next podcast.
You've been listening to Bank on Witfully. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and tune into the next episode as we feature insights from other leaders in the financial industry and even more ways you can stay ahead of the curve.